Mic's on. Good to go. Good morning. My name is James Schaefer. This week, we're beginning our Faith on Film sermon series, in which Matt Conlin was saying we look at films in our culture, and we highlight spiritual truths that we can kind of draw out of them. The series is all about engaging with our culture and practicing discernment as we go. Even though we're using the films, it's all about Jesus. Like, that is our focus every week. Before I jump into it too much, I want to pray for Pastor Matt. He was hoping to be back with us this morning. He helped his daughter move back into college in Virginia and was feeling sick and got worse and worse and worse. And so finally he decided to go to the doctor. So let's pray for him that he has healing. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift up Pastor Matt. God, we know how much he wanted to be back with us this morning. We know how bad he feels that he's on the sideline, Lord. We just pray that you would heal him, that you would lay your hand upon him, that you would help the doctors to find out what's ailing him so that he can get better. And Lord, we look forward to having him back with us next week, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. So the first movie we're going to look at is Disney's 2016 film, The Queen of Katwe. Katwe, talking with people, I've heard it pronounced a bunch of different ways. I'm sure I'm pronouncing it like an American when I say Katwe, so that's what I'm going to go with. The movie is based on the real-life story of Fiona Mutesi, a young girl growing up in the slums of Uganda. She learns the game of chess and eventually becomes the best player in her country. It's an inspiring underdog story. How many have actually seen the movie? Okay, a bunch. Whenever someone would ask me, like, oh, like, what film are you doing for Faith on Film? And I told them, they're like, huh, never heard of that. I hadn't either. I found this movie because I'm a bit of a chess nerd. I'm not all that good at the game, but I really enjoy playing. And I have a lot of fond memories of playing chess with my dad. I think we have a photo up there. Yeah, so there I am losing a game of chess to my dad. And I'm trying to teach my boys how to play too. Some success. Over there on the left, that was from a few weeks ago. I don't quite remember how the game ended. I think it involved yogurt smeared on the board and our three-year-old running off with some of the pieces. So I've got some work ahead of me there. And if you've ever like needed evidence that God makes us all unique, two boys, same genetic pool. One is wearing a fuzzy robe. The other was in shorts and a tank top. So everyone's got their style. So I picked this movie for the chess, but the more I watched it, the more I grew to appreciate the journey that Fiona goes on. So this morning, we're going to walk through her story, and we're going to look at how her journey from just another kid in the slum to a chess champion parallels our own spiritual journey as Christians. So before we get to any actual scenes from the movie, we are going to show some clips from the movie. I want to set the stage by reading a passage from Tim Cruthers' book, Queen of Katwe. So the movie was actually based on this book that he wrote about her story. So in this passage that I'm going to read, Cruthers describes Katwe, which is where much of the film takes place. I think I have a picture, might be the next slide. So this is a picture from Katwe. And he writes, "The largest of the eight slums in the city of Kampala, Katwe is one of the worst places on earth. The slum is often so severely flooded that many residents sleep in hammocks suspended just beneath their roofs to avoid drowning. Raw sewage runs through the trenches beside the alleyways of the slum, and floods carry it inside people's shacks. The human waste from neighboring downtown Kampala is also dumped directly into Katwe. There is no sanitation service. Flies are everywhere. The stench is appalling. Nothing grows there." So this is not an easy place to grow up, to say the least. But this is where Fiona and her family struggle day in and day out to survive. So spiritually, this is kind of a metaphor for where we begin our journey before we meet Christ. We are separated from God. We are dead in our sins, spiritually depraved. We read in Scripture that apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Nothing grows in us. We are lost. Thankfully, that's just the beginning of our story. It's not the end. The same is true for Fiona's story. One day, Fiona follows her brother, Brian, to a meeting of the Pioneers, which is a branch of sports outreach ministry that teaches kids how to play chess and also provides them with a daily meal. It might have been the free meal that drew her in, but learning the game of chess would ultimately transform Fiona's life. So let's take a look at a couple of scenes from her first visits to the ministry where she learns the basics of chess.
Abdul, go and pray to Wenda.
Gloria, could you please show Fiona how to move the pieces? We must be merciful to the wicked.
This is little man. His border is broken so he can only bump into things. Beep, beep, beep. This is the queen. She is the most powerful of all the pieces.
What do they all do?
They kill each other. See? Dead. This is the president. If your president is trapped, nowhere to go, you say, checkmate.
Coach calls it promoting.
But I call it queening.
When you scoot little man down the board, square by square, when he reaches the back rank, he becomes a queen. In chess, the small one can become the big one. That's why I like it.
In chess, the small one can become the big one. The pawn, the lowliest of pieces, the one Gloria describes as having a broken body, can be transformed into a queen, the most powerful piece on the board. This is a lot like what happens when we put our trust in Jesus and enter into the kingdom of God. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we read, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." In Ephesians, we are told to put off your old self, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self. And Romans 6 talks about dying to sin and being resurrected into the newness of life with Jesus Christ. In each of these passages, we see a change take place, from old to new, from death to life. And it's not just the moment we put our trust in Jesus either. The theme of the weak being made strong is used throughout Scripture to describe the kingdom of God. Jesus said in Matthew 5, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." He said, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." And then later in Matthew 23, he said, "For those who exalt themselves, for those who lift themselves up high, they will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." And then in 2 Corinthians, we read, Paul is talking, and he says, "But the Lord said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" So we see this parallel between the broken-bodied pawn promoting to the strongest piece on the board and the kingdom of God that is active in our midst today. And then finally, we know that when Jesus returns, we have the promise of a physical transformation as well. In 1 Corinthians 15, we read, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed." The weak become mighty, the humble are lifted up, the meek inherit the earth. The last becomes first, the dead will be raised imperishable, we will be changed. Once we were like broken-bodied pawns. But if you have decided to follow Jesus, then you have been transformed, and you are being transformed, and you will be transformed when he returns. It's no wonder chess appealed to Fiona and her friends in the slum, when it carries that promise that even the humblest piece can become mighty. After learning the rules, Fiona quickly demonstrates that she has a natural talent for the game. She goes on to become the best player in the Pioneers, and then from there, she wins games against wealthy kids from elite private schools. She even wins some prize money for playing chess. But life in Katwe is never easy. Her brother is hit by a motorcycle and badly hurt. Fiona has to use her prize money to bribe someone to take them to the hospital. When she and her family returns home, they find that they have been evicted from the shack that they were living in because they could not afford the 10,000 Ugandan shillings in rent. 10,000 shillings sounds like a lot, but that's the equivalent of $2.69. So she learns chess, has some success, and she gets a hint of this promise that the small may become big. And then all of this happens in her life. In the next scene, we're going to watch her family is homeless, living by the side of the road, when Coach Robert Katende, I'll call him Coach Katende or Coach Robert or Robert Bob sometimes, when he comes to visit Fiona and her brother Brian. So let's take a look.
So you told the others you are not coming back to chess, eh?
Why?
There are too many problems.
But chess helps us solve problems, isn't it? Eh? Brian, set a game for you and I. Check. No, no, Fiona, never tip your king so quick, eh?
Why not? When you're going to be beaten anyway.
Look. Focus on what you have.
Coach, I think you don't come from here.
When I was a child, my mother left me. In that moment, I wanted to die. But it is a good thing I did not take my life, eh? Otherwise, I would not have seen my daughter. I would not have met the Pioneers. Or you.
Me?
Do not be quick to tip your king, Fiona. You must never surrender.
In chess, tipping your king is your way of saying, I resign, I give up. Here, Fiona is feeling beaten down by her life. She and her family are at a low point, and she's ready to give up. So when her coach threatens her king in their game, on top of everything else she's going through, she feels completely hopeless. Why not give up if you're going to be beaten anyway? Once we put our faith in Jesus, that doesn't mean our struggles are over. Jesus told us that in this life, we will face trials of many kinds. We don't have a choice in whether we go through hard times, but what we do have a choice in is how we respond to those hard times. I love the advice that Coach gives to Fiona. Yes, he tells her not to give up and never to surrender. I feel like that's required in a movie like this. But what I'm talking about is the other piece of advice that he gives her. It's subtle, but it's powerful. He says, look, focus on what you have. Our brains are hardwired to weigh negative experiences more heavily than positive. It's physically easier for us to remember the bad stuff that happens to us than it is to remember the good stuff. This negativity bias, as it's called, has actually been measured by scientists. As a result, when we struggle, when we fail, when we face trials of all kinds, it's easy to forget about the promises of God. It's easy to forget about all the ways that he's blessed us and to only focus on what's going wrong. And that's why it's so important that we practice gratitude. Pastor Matt preached on this a couple of months ago. He said that gratitude is a deliberate practice. Because of our inbuilt negativity bias, it requires deliberate effort on our part to focus on the good things, to focus on what we have. In 1 Thessalonians, we are told to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So before we fall into despair, look, focus on the good things that God has given us. Focus on the good things that he has promised. Besides hard times and trials, another thing we deal with in our spiritual walk is temptation. Oftentimes when it comes to confronting temptation in my own life, I feel a lot like Fiona does in this game. I know I'm not perfect. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm going to keep on messing up and I'm going to keep on sinning. So when I'm faced with temptation, it only feels natural to say, why not? I'm only going to be beaten anyway. Paul had this same struggle. In Romans 7, verse 19, he says, for I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. And then down in verse 24, he says, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that I am that is subject to death? You can sense Paul's despair in these verses. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me? But then in the very next verse, in verse 25, Paul practices gratitude. He gives thanks. He says, thanks be to God who delivered me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then in the first verse of the next chapter, he reminds himself and us of God's promise that therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Look, focus on what you have. In addition to the everyday blessings like loved ones, health, material possessions, and the countless other blessings we have as Americans, we have something far greater. We have been redeemed through Jesus Christ. We have been set free by his sacrifice. We have been transformed. We are a new creation. In the next scene, I want to shift our focus back to the promises of God. Here we're going to see a lesson that Coach Katende taught his pioneers. It's a lesson in chess, but also a lesson for life. We're going to view it with an eye towards reminding us of some of God's promises to help us focus on what we have as children of God.
Ivan, when you fetch water for your mother, do you just go any time of the day, or do you think a bit first?
I think a bit.
About what?
There are long lines for water in the morning, so I plan when I will go.
Ah, a plan.
And I cannot arrive too late because I could get robbed on the way home. So on my way, I cut through the valley to save time.
What happens when the rain comes?
The water has come down the hill.
And you get washed away?
No, I climb in my hammock.
Your hammock. Good plan. Threats from many directions. Robbers. Angry property owners. Floods, and other dangers. How can this bishop survive?
Coach, no way.
Hey. Look. Look at it closely.
F3?
Yes, F3. He is safe there.
Yes, in today's game, Bishop is safe on F3. When you first looked at this position, perhaps you thought there was no safe haven for Bishop. But you looked closely. You analyzed the threats. You made a plan. And Bishop found safety, eh? Use your minds. Follow your plans, and you will all find safe squares.
I love the kid in the back that was like, yeah, F3. I knew that. I knew that was the answer. In Katwe, there are dangers everywhere. Coach Katende encourages his kids to make a plan. Then they would find their safe squares. Well, what about us? When we struggle with temptation, when we go through trials and tribulations, and when we're attacked by the enemy, how do we find our safe square? To answer that, I want to look at some scripture. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4 says that God our Father, is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. So God is our comforter in times of trouble. Matthew 11, 28 through 29 says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. In God, we find our rest. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. God will give us a way out. He will provide a safe square. And finally, Psalms 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. God is our refuge. God is our safe square. All we need to do to find our safe square is to look to our Heavenly Father. Much like her life in Katwe, Fiona's path to the chess championship is not an easy one. This next scene takes place after a crushing loss at the chess Olympiad in Russia. She faces a setback in her chess career, and on top of that, she returns home back to the crime, squalor, and floods of Katwe. Let's take a look.
Coach, you told us to make a plan for when the rains came. But how can I plan when there is no roof?
I'll return later. Do you understand? Do you understand?
Yes.
Bye, Richardy.
Oh, see you again.
When there are no walls. The water does not care about my plan. The water takes anything it wants. Very soon, men will start coming after me. Where is my safe square, Coach?
You are finding it. You do not have to travel down the same path as night. You have a chance to make your own. And you are strong, eh?
I fear certain things will never change.
You are the youngest ever player to take Uganda to the Chess Olympiad. Things are changing.
My life is the same.
Fiona. Losses happen for all of us. But what matters is when you reset the pieces and play again. Huh? The Rabusheni Championship is waiting for you. One day, you will be ready for it, and then your life could change.
Fiona asks, where is my safe square, Coach? In our Christian walks, we will reach a point like Fiona. Whether we give in to sin, fall into bad habits, we start to look more like our old selves instead of like the new creation. Or we're hit by tragedy, and trials in our life overwhelm us. Maybe we just get worn down by the burdens we carry. Whatever it is, we'll arrive at that place similar to where Fiona was in this scene, where we'll wonder, where is that safe square? The interaction we just saw between Fiona and Coach Katende speaks to these moments in our Christian walks. Fiona says, I fear certain things will never change. Coach Robert says, things are changing. But Fiona replies, my life is the same. We might ask ourselves, I've become a Christian. Shouldn't life be easy now? I'm supposed to be a new creation, right? Wasn't I supposed to transform from that pawn to the queen? Isn't my old self supposed to have passed away? And yet I keep sinning. I keep failing. I fear certain things will never change. My life is the same. Here's the thing, though. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, when we make him the Lord of our life, our sins have been forgiven. We have been redeemed, and we are a new creation. But we are not instantly made perfect. God is not a genie granting wishes. He is our Heavenly Father walking in relationship with us. As we walk with Jesus and as we grow to know him more closely, we will start to look more and more like him. That process is called sanctification. And it's just that. It's a process. Paul put it well in Philippians 3. He was talking about wanting to know Christ and becoming like him. In Philippians 3, 12 through 14, he says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Losses will happen for all of us. When they do, we must reset the board and play again. We must forget what is behind, as Paul said, and press on toward the goal. Before we move on to the next scene, I want to take a moment also to just pause and remind ourselves to be patient and gracious with one another. We're all at different points in our walk with Jesus. Some of us have been on this path for a long time, and some of us are just getting started. We're all on that same walk, that same process of sanctification. We've got two more scenes that I want to look at this morning. In the next one, Fiona and Coach Katende are playing a training game near the water. Let's take a look.
Now, you know my plan is to attack your B5, yes? So you must bring your pawn forward to defend, you see? Fiona, what are you developing over here? Your problem is on B5. Look. I put my pawn on B5, you take my pawn, my knight attacks your queen, we exchange queens, my knight attacks your king, I take your rook.
With respect, coach, I would not move that way.
You must. You are compelled by my position.
If you come for my knight, I attack your king and take your rook. You see?
You can see 8 moves ahead. You could win at Rabishin. You could be the best in all Uganda. Do you know what that would mean for Katwe? Perhaps one day an international champion.
Coach, why are you shining me?
Me, I'm not shining you. Only champions can see that many variations. What is preventing you from being a grandmaster?
I do not know about being a grandmaster.
Sometimes the place you are used to is not the place you belong. You belong where you believe you belong. Where is that for you, Fiona?
At this point in her life, Fiona has won a number of chess tournaments. She's attending school, learning to read, and practicing her chess. Things have begun to settle for her. This is where many of us are today in our walks with Christ. We've been Christians for a while now. Sure, there's still a big gap between who we are and who Christ is, But we're comfortable with where we're at. And so we're content to remain there. We stagnate, we stay where we're comfortable. Sometimes it's not that we're comfortable where we are. It's that we don't think God could really use someone like us. We don't think we're good enough. In that scene, Robert Katende sees so much potential in Fiona. He thinks she could be the best chess player in Uganda, maybe even become a grandmaster. But she doesn't believe him. Likewise, God sees our full potential. He knows what we're capable of. Scripture tells us that he has prepared good works for us to do. He has chosen each and every one of us to do work in his kingdom. But so often we doubt ourselves. We hold ourselves back because we don't think we're ready. We don't think we're good enough. This line that Robert Katende says is my favorite in the entire movie. Sometimes the place you are used to is not the place you belong. You belong where you believe you belong. Where is that for you? I want to challenge you, New Hope. In your walk with Christ, is the place where you're used to the place where you truly belong? Or do you need to recommit parts of your life to Jesus and trust in him? This takes us to our final scene, the Rabushani Championship. Not sure if I said that right, but it's as good as I'm going to get. This whole journey, Fiona has had, well, I'm jumping ahead. Let's watch the scene.
This is the final round of our Rabushani National Chess Championship. Fiona Mutesi and Christine Namaganda are tied for first position in the women's category. They will now play the final deciding game.
Commence play, please. You belong here.
Silence. Move out.
Sorry.
love that. You got Gloria in the stands cheering for the queening of the pawn. And I feel like her mom does just like the quintessential mom thing, like, what's going on? What's going on? And then she turns and tells you, she's winning, like she knows what she's talking about. The thing I want to focus on is that this whole journey, Fiona has had Coach Katende by her side. Where would she be without him? Throughout the story, he teaches and encourages her. He brings her family food, and he gets her enrolled in school. Now he's there with her at the biggest match of her life. We can see that he shares her pain when she makes a mistake. He rejoices with her in her triumph. And when she begins to doubt herself, he reminds her that she belongs here. She belongs here at the championship. She is worthy of this. If we're going to keep pressing on to win the prize in our walks with Jesus, if we're not going to settle for the place that we're used to and instead reach for the place where we belong, then we're going to need one another. Just like Fiona needs Coach Katende, we need one another. We are not meant to walk this walk alone. I'm going to close with this passage from Hebrews. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." I'm going to ask the band to come back up as we close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this story. Thank you for the story of Fiona's triumph. Lord, we are so grateful that you rescued us, that you have made us new creations in Christ. Lord, when we face trials and temptations, God, help us to remember your promises. Help us to remember all the good things that you have done and are doing in our life. Lord, thank you for being our safe square. Thank you for being the refuge that we can turn to without fail. Father, I pray for this body of believers. I pray that we can encourage one another and spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Father, we pray all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
That was awesome. Can you stand with us as we close?